where did he get that confidence to be able to do that to people?
Right. Who's telling him to do that?
I want to speak to you guys. I want to sit down and have a conversation with you so we can make actual change and figure something out.
Right.
And how about a mission statement to the whole company?
Right. Absolutely. That, you know? Public statement, that was the minimum.
This is how we need to treat people.
Was the minimum.
Hello, all, and welcome to Marsha, 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 the podcast. I'm your host, Marsha Molinari. And you are here listening to the podcast that brings true and heartfelt human connection. I believe if you don't know about it, you can't care about it. And that's why we're here today. Yeah. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I want to say thank you for visiting again. And I want to remind everyone to like and subscribe and comment. And yeah, that's how we can make our podcast. And that's what you can do for us so we can continue to make content for you. We have two very special guests, Ella Helikas and Alexa J. Welcome to Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Thank you for having us.
Yay,
of course. Thanks for having us. And welcome to the club, really, daytime.
All right.
Love to see you.
I'm liking this vibe.
You're definitely on the list.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
We love that.
I appreciate that.
Now, so both of you guys are very popular models and influencers. And, you know, with that being said, you recently had an experience that happened at a nightclub, which is why we're here today. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, I want to talk about how you got into modeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us.
Of course.
This is such an honor and so fun to do it with Alexa and be here today. It all started when I went to school in Hawaii, actually, about 3 years ago. And I just started posting on the beach, loving the swimsuit content, feeling confident in my skin because for so long I hadn't. When I found that confidence is when I started posting it and sharing photos. And then through that, I got scouted through Instagram after just posting all the bikini pics, got scouted that way. And then one thing led to the next. Moved home, saved money, and I really just wanted to move to LA and pursue those dreams. But then COVID happened and I was like, this is a rocky time, but my dreams are worth fighting for. So I sent it down to LA with no plan, no job, nothing.
Wow.
May of 2020. Yeah. So it's been amazing ever since and just kind of hit the ground running. And I love it. I'm so happy to be here and do what I do and, you know, share my story. And yeah, that's how it kind of all started.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're a native from LA, right, Alexa?
Yeah. So I'm born and raised in LA, which was really nice. So I graduated school in 2020 during the pandemic, moved back to LA after that. And I started a job in the wine and spirits industry. I was a sales rep and it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So I had I would go to 8 accounts in a day. And in between those accounts, I would sit in my car and just talk about life and post on TikTok. At that time, I always loved fashion and I felt like I really got to express myself once I moved back to LA. And so on the weekends, it was when COVID was kind of lightening up. I would go to flea markets and things like that. And I started just trying to meet people because I had gone so long without talking to anybody during COVID.
Same.
Yeah. So I started talking to all these different creatives and people started asking me do you model? And I had never had anyone ask me that before. I feel like I really went through a second puberty, during my time in college. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of self-confidence at that time too. So when people would ask me, I'd be like, no, but if you ever want to shoot together, I'd love to. Mm-hmm. So I started just doing collaborations with different creatives in LA. And then I would always post about it on TikTok. And then one day I got an Instagram DM from my agency I'm signed to. And we went through the whole process of doing all the test shoots and all of that. And then I've been with them for the past almost 2 years now. And it's been incredible. So it was really simultaneous with my social media stuff that the modeling went hand in hand with it. So I'm really lucky with how it all worked out. And then since then, I stayed in my job for probably another 4 months. And then I finally got a consistent social media job that made it so I was able to go to all the castings, do all the modeling stuff and fully commit to that. And then for the past year now, it's been my full time as modeling and social media. So it's been amazing.
Oh, I love that. So have you guys both got started kind of after COVID is when the popularity started with it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with her. Mine kind of started through TikTok as well. And I think it's so easy if you're listening to that and you're like, I want to get into that space or how to do it.
Yeah.
I recommend going on Instagram, going on TikTok, posting, your photos behind the scenes, shoot with who you can, reach out to any and all photographers. That's really how it starts.
Right.
It's not this big giant thing that you're is so not obtainable. It's no, it is.
It's
if
just
you really
doing the
want
work.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing that groundwork for that.
Showing up for that.
Yeah.
And, reaching out to people, like you said, like people want to do shoots with you.
Totally.
It's a lot of steps before signing with an agency. I think that's what people think makes you like a legitimate model. But I think that there's so much work and practice that needs to go in beforehand. And so, you know, and being in LA, everyone is some sort of creative and everybody wants to build their portfolio. So connecting with different photographers or makeup artists, like that was my number one thing. I would get right off of work and go straight to someone's house and start doing some sort of video or shoot with them. And it just made me love it too. And like, you get to be more creative and figure out how you like yourself. And I talk about a lot on social media, but I went through a lot with my body and like having an eating disorder. And I feel like during that time, it was a period where I got to like fall back in love with myself and make myself feel sexy and beautiful. And during that time, I was also gaining weight. So it was like, I was gaining back the weight that I had unhealthily lost and learning to love myself at every stage of that weight. I feel like now I'm just so blessed. It's weird to say like an eating disorder was a blessing, but I feel like I got to start at ground zero and love myself at every stage I possibly could. And now I'm at a place where I can talk to people about confidence and stand up for myself and not be embarrassed to talk about things that happened to me or how I'm discriminated against, because I don't feel shame about it anymore. I know that that's not my fault.
I think it's very beautiful that you just said that. You think it's weird that you say that an eating disorder helped you along your way, but that is part of your journey. And the fact that you have that awareness, instead of holding on to it as a negative, that you're like, no, that was one stage of my life and I had to go there and then learn from that moment. And now, you know, we're here with who you are today. As you guys started posting photos, first of all, where'd you get the confidence of like being able to like, you know, do a bikini shot or like, you know, where does that come from? Like a family member, like someone that was always kind of like supporting you, like you're gorge, you're, you know,
this or that. Honestly, a lot of my friends were really uplifting. Like I was around them, you know, in Hawaii. And that's when I just started to gain a little bit more confidence, because I think, so if we go back to being super insecure growing up, I played soccer my whole life. I was a lot smaller than I am now. This is the biggest probably I've ever been and the happiest and most confident I am, which is so interesting. But I was super insecure and I just, the older I got, the more I was like, it doesn't matter what size jeans I am. Like, why am I holding so much weight on this? And I felt so tired of not living my life. I felt tired of being tired. Like I just was so exhausted of battling my head and my mind every day on how I look. What does this look like? This doesn't fit right. You know, how are people going to perceive me? And I just, you get to a point or you reach that point where you're like, I'm done feeling this way. Yeah. Like, I don't want to feel insecure and hate myself anymore. Yeah. Like you have to be reached to that limit. And once I reach that limit, I'm like, oh, it's go time. Like, I'm like, I'm going to change my whole mindset. Like I just like, and anytime I get a negative thought about myself, I switch it. It's like, I call it like the light switch in my head. I start thinking bad about myself and I switch it to something positive and how grateful I am for my body and how it's so powerful and I can do this and I feel so sexy with my curves, rather than why do I have curves now? It's like, no, I feel sexy with them. It's like you try to like switch that mindset and it takes so long. So don't be discouraged, because it's an everyday process. Yeah. But once I found that, I felt like I started taking those photos and it would shine from within. I felt like I was being a happier person, more confident, and just it came from within, honestly.
And probably those got a bigger reaction when you were like, I'm myself.
Right. And it felt like authentic and genuine, and people were like, wait, you should model. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't have the body to model, but thank you, you know. And they were like, no, you really should. And that was at the same time with Asha Graham and all these plus size models that I look up to kind of took off. And that's, you know, my whole journey with Sports Illustrated was because of that as well with
Congratulations,
Ashley.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank that's you. So major. Yeah, it was a journey for like 3.5 years to get there. But once I found that and other people started to admire it and be inspired by it, it kept me going. It was almost like that fuel that kept me going. That's kind of how I started.
Did you have someone in your life that was like kind of that motivator or someone to tell you like you are beautiful and gorgeous?
Yeah, I would say similarly to Ella, I have a phenomenal friend group, and they were with me from when I started my eating disorder to when I ended it, and loving me throughout it and helping me. Like, they're the ones that set my first therapy appointment for me. Like, they really just, I could cry thinking about them. Yeah. Like, they're the greatest people in my life. But my family also, I'm biracial. My dad's black, my mom's white. And just my whole life, my dad has told me, you know, you're gonna have to work 3 times harder than everybody else in the room, but you can do whatever you want. You can be whoever you want. You can achieve anything in this world. And I just think about how blessed I am that I had someone in my life that has always told me that. And so I've always felt like I can do and be anything I want, but I always knew there was going to be barriers in the way. And I think that's really helped me in my career as well, because, you know, he always told me like, I grew up in a predominantly white town as well. And so he always told me, you know, you could be someone's first perception of a Black woman. So you need to make sure you're on 10 all the time. And so that sucks. And it's a big, right. not burden to carry, but just...
You're thinking about it. Yeah, at least
exactly. It's you're thinking something. About things a yeah. lot. Like, I remember when I was writing, I thought about this the other day. I was writing my college essays way back when, and he read it and he was like, I love this, but you need to be careful because you don't know who's going to read your essay and accept you into school or not. You don't know if they believe the same things as you. And that's just crazy to think about, of like me speaking about my experience being Black might turn someone away from me. But I feel like that gave me so much courage in social media to speak out about things and to really represent who I am. And it just all goes back to the empowerment I felt from my family. So I'm really blessed at all corners of the world. You know, they definitely looked at me crazy when I was like, I'm actually going to quit my really prestigious wine job and maybe model and do TikTok. And they were like, are you out of your mind? Like, why would you? You worked so hard to get this job. And my dad always believed I'd be a lawyer one day because I love to talk. and he was like, if this is what you're going to do, like, go do it. Like, I want you to give it 100%. Like, I've been an athlete my whole life, too. Everyone in my family is an athlete. And so he was like, I want you to treat whatever you're doing like you're going for the gold. Like, that's what you need to do. And so it's just been beautiful. As I've loved myself, it's allowed my family to love me more because I'm not thinking 10 steps ahead. Like, I remember if my dad's a little fashionista too. So he would be like, are you going to wear that fall jacket with that summer outfit? Like, is that what you're going to do? And in my eyes, when I was really insecure about my body, I would think it was about how I looked, not about how the clothes maybe didn't match. And then that would create animosity between me and my family. If I would be like, why are you talking about my body all
the
time?
Comment about my clothes.
And he's like, I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your clothes. But it just showed like my mental at that time. So now I'm at a place where we can have such a better relationship. And I feel like with my friends, with my work, with my family in all forms, it's come down to me loving myself. It's opened so many more doors for me.
Because I mean, to go back to what you were saying about a confidence about loving yourself and a different relationship with yourself, it really is that, because no matter what size you are, that's the mental, like, or the conversation you have in your head could be anything, you know, and it's how you translate it. And, you know, I know for myself, during my transitional journey, I've often have times where like I don't feel womanly enough or this, that, and then I talk to myself and I'll say something. When that negative conversation starts, I turn it into like a secondary person, and I'm like, oh, that's funny you would think that, but actually this is what, and I have that conversation, and it turns it around. If I like make it like it's somebody else talking to me, I'm like, that's interesting you would think that. And it would be like a kind of like a hateful thought of like, you're not this or that enough.
Right.
And I'm that's like, amazing. Actually, I'm pretty great. I'm going to go out as great. Bye.
Right.
You know? I love that so much.
I love that.
I tell people that because that is the best way.
It really has helped. Like, just when, even like as quick as a thought comes, I'll go, ha, that's funny you thought that. You know? And kind of really turn it into something else.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Like, that's not me. That's what you think. Okay, great. And we're going to shut that off. And you're not welcome
and that
anymore.
And that would be just a conversation and be like, I'm moving on. And actually, I'm pretty great. And
I love that.
I'm going to continue, you know, on my journey.
I love that.
So let's talk about the night of the incident. And I kind of know a little bit about it. I believe that you were already in the restaurant. And this is the Highland Room in Hollywood.
Right.
The popular
Highlight Room.
Highlight Room.
I had went to Beauty in Essex for dinner. So it's like the sister right next to it, right? For dinner. And then I had gone to another influencer event with Boohoo Man close by. And then I was at a party. She was at home getting ready with some friends. And then we both didn't even know that we were both going. So it was funny when we ran into each other in front of the club, because a lot of us after the party was over, we're like, let's go to Highlight Room, let's go get more drinks. So we drove there, get dropped off by the Uber. We walk up and I see Alexa there with her friends. And then that's kind of how it all unfolded, which she can start out with how it started.
For anyone listening, I'll just clarify again. I've said this on TikTok many times. I only knew two girls that were there. So it was a group of about 15. It was my friend's birthday, and she's a photographer. She's always supported
me. But you came
me.
For one.
I came for her birthday.
Yeah, for her birthday. So you were all there.
Right. She had like a flyer out for her birthday. She had like a table situation, a whole situation set up. So it wasn't like, oh, let's just like pull up on a whim or anything. Like, we had a plan, had a table. And so I met all the girls there for the very first time, except for the birthday girl and my best friend. friend.
So you're not even thinking about entry. You're like, we're set.
Well, I'm a Virgo. I don't go anywhere without a plan. Right. So and I also, I know stereotypes about the club. So I've always had like a little voice in my head of anxiety about it.
Let's make sure it's right and set up.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but that's, I'm usually the one that plans everything. So I'm the one in my friend group. I'm the one that has a lot of the connections with the club and stuff. So I'm the one that's like, we need to be at the table at this time and this is what we're doing. So I don't have anxiety about it.
Right.
So this time I was like, oh, it's my friend's birthday. We're good to go. So we show up, run into Ella outside. I meet all the group of girls for the very first time. Everyone was so nice and everyone was diverse racially, but everyone was way shorter than me and way skinnier than me.
Yeah.
Like I was definitely
just point blank.
Yes. Right. That's just putting it out there. And so run into Ella and I'm a girl's girl. So I'm like, oh my God, come with us. Like you're going to come to our table. It's easy. We have a huge group of girls. It's going to be so fun.
Yep.
And in line, I'm meeting followers of mine. My contact at IMGO was there and I was talking to her. So I'm like around, I'm excited to go in because I'm seeing so many people I know. I'm like, it's going to be a great night.
Yeah.
We get to the front. The birthday girl goes in first and she's with her promoter and the bouncer at the front. And for highlight room, it's like there's a rope. They let you in. They check your ID. Then you go up an elevator to the roof. And so when I'm seeing her point at me and my friend as the last people in the group. So I kind of like smile at the bouncer.
And that's all really they need to know.
Yeah, that's all they need to know.
Them. Good. Let's go.
Right. Literally, that's it. And so I'm seeing him look at me and like I kind of got a vibe at first, but I was like, oh, it's just in my head, whatever. Get to the front and he like turns away from me and I see him fumble with the thing and I keep walking and I literally almost knock the rope over because he put it up and I didn't even see it.
And he went to the action like he was going to do it.
He had it open and then closed it. And I thought he was like, because girls were going in, so he was kind of closing it so other people wouldn't go in. So I thought he was just moving it so the person next to me didn't get in, but he was not allowing me to enter. And then so my friend was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, he's probably just confused or it's like very congested right here. So he's just waiting for people to go up. And then so he opens the gate again and I go to go and he's like, no, not you. And I was like, no, I'm with that group. I was like, no, I'm at her table. This is my party. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, looked me up and down and like kind of smirked at me and was like, not tonight. And I was like, huh? I was like, no, we have a table. Like I'm with the party. And he was like, I know, like not tonight. No. And then let other people in, da, 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 da. And then it clicked for me what was happening.
It's the letting the other people in always gets me. I'm said.
Yeah, so it's not a capacity issue. Right. You can come in, guys can come in.
Then you know it's a personal issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I say to him, I'm like, is this a size issue? Like, what's going on? Just by the way he's scanning my body up and down, I'm like, you're giving me the context clues of what's going on.
Right.
So he was like, I let 15 girls in at your... He's so angry. I'm like, why are you angry? I'm literally a sweet little girl. Like, I'm saying the nicest things to you.
Don't you want
I know.
I get to the point.
Like, so angry with me. He's like, I already let 15 people in your group. I can't let anybody else in. Like, this is a small capacity tonight. Da, da, da. I'm like, if that were even the truth, don't let people in that come in later when you're at capacity.
Yeah. Right.
But then two girls that were in our party at our table came as he was telling me no, and he right in, lets them in. And so I'm like, so you're not even a good liar. Like, you could have kept it. So then I turn to Ella. I say, it's happening. Yeah. And then she steps in from there.
Yeah, so she looked at me and I was like, what's going on? Because I had been drinking that night. She was sober. I was not, so I was a little spicy.
You were ready to go. You just come from another.
I just come from another influencer party. Yeah. Like
with all the influencers you were with.
Yeah,
so that was we're in front of our peers
and
also.
The sister company, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. It was like Sway Lee was performing. I did the whole red carpet look. Like, I'm like on a high. Like, I feel so great. And she's having a hard time getting in. And I'm like looking kind of like over her shoulders. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's the holdup here? Like, I'm getting frustrated now. And she looked at me and she's like, it's happening. And it just like sunk in my stomach.
So we'd had conversations about this before, how it happens to girls before.
And it's happened to me before.
I just got the chills when you said it's happening. Right. And then to have a mutual understanding, like, I can't.
I know. And I knew. And I was like, okay. How do I want to react right now? And I just was like, wait, switch with me. And so we switched spots and I go to the front. I'm like, hi, sir. Like, so sorry if you're confused here. It's just us now. And I was with a friend who was actually curvy as well. And she was with her best friend and roommate. And so I go, oh, it's just us four now. Like, I'm so confused. Like, what's going on here? Like, let me settle this, right? Like, what's good? And he did the same exact thing where he like looked at me up and down and was like, not tonight. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. But what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean not tonight? And he was just like, yeah, not tonight. Next. Yeah, you're good, bro. Yeah, she's good. Yeah, you guys are good. And just like flooding in other people. And I'm like, are we actually getting punked right now? Like, first of all,
happening?
My outfit was on point. I know my hair was on point.
It's
she
not
was
like you
on
rolled
point.
Up in we, sweats like, and a hoodie. And like,
And
we're ready to go.
Just like, I also had like gone full out for this outfit, hair, makeup, stylist, everything. And it's like to get ready and be vulnerable and feel sexy and feel good and like go out with your friends. And for this to happen, one, it's humiliating. Two, it's belittling. Like, you start to question your whole entire existence and worth in that moment.
Totally.
From a bouncer, like right. From one man at a door.
One person with
like,
one, yeah.
That has that much power over your confidence. And I just was like so confused, so frustrated.
You're way up here.
Right. And I'm like running on this high. I went to dinner with all the security guards in front of Highlight Room hit on me when I went to dinner, mind you, when right. I was leaving. Oh, you guys look beautiful tonight, whatever. Went there 2 hours later and didn't get in. So like, I was just so confused and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, we tried to get answers from them. They wouldn't answer. And now I'm getting heated. Right. And I'm that person that I almost am like so competitive where like I can't walk away and let you win this.
Right.
Like, you're not winning this right now.
Right.
So I look at the security guard who was a bigger guy and I look at him and I go, he's watching everything. And I could tell he's like really scoping out, but he's not saying anything. And I go, sir, you know exactly what's going on here. You're a bigger guy. You know exactly what's happening. You're not going to say anything. You're just going to watch. You're just going to watch us and not say anything.
Right.
And he just got a little startled and was like, I can't say. I'm like, no, you can. You can say one thing right now. You don't want to stand up for us? You don't want to stand up for what's right now. Okay.
Right, definitely.
And he was just like, I just can't. It's not really. I was like, no, but you could say something. Like, that's your coworker.
Right.
Like, you could say something. And so he didn't. And I was like, speaks volumes. Okay, next. Bouncer comes over. Another promoter comes over, checks on her, checks on us. Like, no one was helping us. And it felt like I was just like screaming from a rooftop for someone to fucking stand up and say something.
Yeah.
And no one did.
And how simple would it have been to just let you in?
So simple.
Rather than all of this going down.
Right. Like, make a whole scene.
Yeah.
Like, she said there was followers there, people that knew us. My friends were there. I had a guy friend come in our Uber who went up and was like, Gabriella, why aren't you coming up? I'm like, he won't let us. He's like, what are you talking about? A guy gets up, but like girls have an issue because like there's like a thing. Girls always get in for free, whatever. It's like the whole thing was backwards.
Right.
It made us feel so low, so
small. I feel blessed that she was there too because A, I was sober and B, just I could feel the gaslighting coming.
Right.
Like
right.
Them looking at us like, go
being
crazy.
So
please.
Nice.
They wanted us to go crazy.
Right.
And like as a Black woman, again, I knew that they were putting me on that pipeline to be the crazy Black girl.
Right.
And so I'm sitting back there and I said to the security guard or whatever, he said something to me like, you're not going to say something like your friend is or something. And I was like, oh, no, you'll hear from me tomorrow. Like, I'm not going to let
right.
you look at me and treat me differently, A, because I'm Black and all these different things. And like Ella and I had so many conversations about her privilege and that situation. And like, mm-hmm. just I'm so blessed that I have a friend like her that was there to stick up for me and step into that place because so many people don't do that, you
right.
know. And thank God we were there because everybody else was silent.
Right.
And I just... You know, a lot of people ask me, they're like, did those girls go in without you? Or like, what happened? And I think the first group of girls did not see what happened. Like, they just funneled in.
Mm-hmm.
The birthday girl stayed out there the entire time, was sobbing. The guy did not care. It was the most dehumanizing feeling of
yeah,
my life.
Yeah, when I ruin someone's night who has a table.
Yeah,
right.
You want people to come back and like, no, I don't have a good feeling
right.
there. Like,
imagine
right.
you talking to me and I'm just standing, looking straight here. Like, you're saying to me and I'm just like,
yeah.
I won't look at you. I'm not going to hear you. But then the second... someone else walks up. Oh, yeah, what's up? You're in. Go
like,
for
you wouldn't
it.
Look at us.
Wouldn't
yeah.
acknowledge that we were human beings. It was crazy.
I mean, I understand, like, the getting ready part already is, like, you know, ready to come out. And, you know, I feel this, like I said, you know, having newly transitioned and a lot of things being new for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that all the time when friends invite me places, I'm like, is my name at the door? I can't deal with, like, one, getting ready and then not
right.
being let in.
Right.
It's hard enough getting ready,
yeah.
you know, and getting that confidence to go out. And
right.
like I say, you have those conversations with yourself and then you're out and you're ready to go. Your music's on and you're doing all the things and this happens. But I've had instances where like, I sometimes even like have had been the host of my own party. I'm on the flyer
no.
and had door people not let me in. And I'm like, my name's, can you just look at the flyer? And they're
yeah.
like, no, you're not. It's not happening tonight. And I'll hear that.
I just,
and I'm like,
it's such a screen. The not tonight
like,
is such a screen.
Yeah.
Now
it's not
I've got to like message people
right.
and make it a whole thing when just listen to what I'm saying. You just want to be heard. And then,
right.
you know, within reason, then if there really was a capacity situation, then I'll sit back and wait for a second.
Right.
And then you're...
No problem.
But
yeah.
let me know that I'm going to be able to come back in. I mean, I don't really understand why these types of people get hired. I mean, I know throughout our company that I've always been... And it's been growing pains. We've hired some door people that have been like, this is my night and right. I run it. And I'm like, well, actually, I'm the owner and you don't run it.
Period.
And, you know, I love that. And one, I always say you never know who someone is mm-hmm. by even once just looking at them.
Right.
That could be a Nobel Prize writing winner, like, totally. You know, anyone. Could be, right. But that's not even the point.
Human decency.
Human decency. Yeah. And I always tell people, and especially the many conversations we've had from door people and different people that work with us, always make people feel like they're welcomed and that they can come back. You know, yeah. if it's a private mm-hmm. night, explain to them that it's a private night. Rudeness will not be tolerated. I mean, that's just number one in customer service.
Right.
Like, we want you to have a good experience. And who knows? You might know someone that might be an investor, a mm-hmm. Best friend of someone. So when you get that kind of negative treatment, that trickles down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or trickles up. Right. All the way through.
We walked away and we're like, oh, okay, you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
You will regret this decision right now. And they're like, oh, okay. And we are Germany news, London, everywhere in London.
So what happens after that night? Do you guys make the video this night?
I made a video that night when I'd gotten home and it was me taking off my makeup. And I just knew I wanted to remember how I felt in that moment.
For
because
sure.
I felt so ashamed and like small and sad. Like I felt embarrassed. I remember like I was with my very best friend and I couldn't even look at her in the car because I was just so embarrassed. I was like, I'm sorry. Like this happened to our night. And she was like, what are you apologizing
yeah,
for?
Like
you didn't
apologizing?
Do anything. And, you know, it's sad to say that in that moment, I am someone that's on the internet preaching confidence. And the whole time I was like, okay, this was the sign. Like, I need to lose weight. Like, life will be so much easier if I lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I just think about the bigger picture of it of like, let's say that was my reaction instead of speaking about it and speaking up about it. Like,
we've
seen so many videos of this happening, not only to plus size women, but to gay men, to transgender people, to so many different types of people. And it's not okay, period, to anybody to be treated that way. And for me, like you said earlier, I'm like, this is a hospitality establishment. Like, how do you treat your customers this way? Like, I just don't understand that. So came home, took my makeup off, made the video of me crying. And I spoke in that video about you know, I felt ashamed also because getting ready that day, I wore like a little bit more revealing clothes. I love wearing revealing clothes, but that night I remember wearing the outfit that I wore because I wanted to look extra sexy for this club.
Yeah.
So even though I am a curvier girl, they would say, oh, she's still hot. Like she can still get in. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I knew I was dressing for the male gaze of that bouncer, I just felt so unlike myself and so upset about that. And so that's what I spoke about in that video. And then the next day I woke up and I'm just, again, so happy Ella was there because if I didn't have someone saying like, do you remember how fucked up that was last night? Like, who knows if I would have said anything or done anything. So I drove over to her apartment and we just debriefed everything. And, you know, while I was there, my manager, David Todd, shout out, I love you. he called me and he was like, I've experienced this so much as a gay man at the club. And like, I just wanted to let you know, like your entire agency stands with you. If you need anything, like we have your back. And that having, you know, the people that I work for
That's
also
beautiful.
Empower me. I was like, okay, it was just validating that everybody that I had admire and look up to was validating me.
Right.
And so, and then I had Ella and then you can go ahead with the video.
Yeah. Well, we made that video and I was like, this is going to be so powerful because at this point it's not about us anymore.
Right.
Like for me, yes, that happened and it's unfortunate, but thankfully I feel strong enough. I know it's not me. It's a him issue. It's a club issue. It's a toxic standard issue.
Yeah.
It's not me, but I feel so many other women, girls, guys, everyone, honestly, or of any sort of minority, whatever, has experienced some form of discrimination. And unfortunately, this happened to us, yes, but now we are the vessel, we are the voice to share that story so more people can have the courage to come forward and that we could hopefully see some serious change. And so I was like, this is going to be really hard for us to speak on it because you relive it, right? You
it's
relive
personal.
Those feelings.
Yeah.
It's very personal. It's embarrassing. But it's so much power in it. And I think more good came from it. And I'm so glad we spoke up because it
so much
did
more
insane.
Even it's a blessing that, unfortunately, I want to say first, I'm sorry this was your experience.
I'm sorry it's been your experience as well.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, I've had those conversations with myself being like, when I feel like there's something to speak up to, and like you were saying, you're being vulnerable and it's hard to speak on. But then I tell myself, wait, this is everything I say that I'm against.
Right.
This is everything I speak about being confident.
Right.
So how am I going to let myself feel this way without speaking out about it.
Right.
And I'm so happy that you had that conversation with yourself, both of you, right. to be able to be like, wait, we do have to speak on this.
Right. This is like vital. Like we yeah. have to, it's super important. So we did. And it blew up at like over 1 million views. And that's when all the phone calls came in. I like talked to my publicist and I was like, what do you think about this? Like, what do we do? Like, is this right, like, yeah. you know, like this is, like, this is
gonna
scary.
Hurt our careers?
Like,
is this going to
hurt my image? TikTok first?
TikTok.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
And because I remember seeing it on Instagram. My friend sent this to me and was like, this would never happen in H-Wood.
Wow.
And I watched the video and I was like, yeah, girl, you come to the club with me.
I saw that, yeah. Because I posted the same video as an Instagram reel as well.
Yeah.
That blew up as well. So it was just so crazy to see. I think the first reaction we got, I was scared, was going to be really negative. And we were texting each other and we were like, all right, so far it's been pretty positive. So far it's been 95% positive. Okay, maybe a few hate comments, but majority was so positive. At first, I will say I've never gotten so much hate in the past 2 weeks randomly from this. But right. in the first few days that we posted, it was super, super positive and encouraging. And more people came out with their story. And what you said about with your name on the flyer, a girl had commented that she was a lead singer of a band and went to her venue to perform and he wouldn't let her in to her own performance.
Exactly.
And she's like, I'm performing. I'm on stage tonight. No, you can't get in. No, I'm performing. Like, it goes so, so deep right. and so far. Like, and no one really talks about it.
Right.
Because it's embarrassing.
Well, now that, since you guys made that video and people are talking about it, right. you see the importance of it.
Right. And now, like, it's a conversation.
Now it's a conversation.
Because it never was. It's right. like, oh, this is just how, get used to it. A yeah. lot of guys are like, that's how it always is. I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
Why do we have to accept and tolerate that discrimination?
Yeah.
Why?
And that's exactly
and
what
that's,
it is.
And we were like, we're not going to tolerate. So then NBC reached out, wanted to interview us. We did that. And after that, it was like BuzzFeed, Now This, CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News. I mean, literally, it was like 8 interviews in 2 days. Like, it was insane. And everyone wanted to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because my publicist was like, I've never seen this before where one story wanted to get got covered by so many different outlets.
Yeah, usually people are like, we've covered this
yeah. before. Right. We don't want to cover anymore.
Right.
But the story was so unique in the way that so many people related to it,
right.
to some sort of form of discrimination. So it was so powerful to see a lot of people wanting to talk about it. And a lot of talk show hosts, the talk show hosts in Canada, like I said, Germany News, like it was international. And I'm so grateful for that because it did spark this huge conversation now. But of course, with that comes hate. Of course comes, you know, crickets from the club. We've been trying to reach them recently. They have
so
not
they
wanted
have
to meet.
Nothing.
So this is where I laugh because I'm like, I'm a 24-year-old girl and I know how to handle this.
Right.
Like, how do you not know how
and
to I, handle
like,
this?
Like being... Right. a young person in this industry, you're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're not going anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I got the most generic DM possible
yeah,
from them. It was like a copy and paste customer service thing. Like, we received a complaint. If you would like to take it up with our
general
manager, you may contact it.
No.
Sent it
have
to me
a good
and her,
day.
Same thing. Yeah.
Like, not my name wasn't written in it. Like, nothing. Not personal at all. Just the copy and paste customer service message. So, and I got it at like 11 o'clock at night. So the next morning I called the number and it went, nobody answered. And then someone called me back and then hung up on me and then called me back again. And I was like, hello. And they were like, who is this? And I was like, oh, I'm calling for the general manager. Like, my name's Alexa. I was given this number. And it was like a total tone switch up. So I'm like, okay. So you were already just being rude. And now you're doing this. Like, yes. I'm like, I'm sure you've seen the video. And she was like, absolutely. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I was like, I appreciate it. I was like, first of all, I'm so happy I'm speaking with a woman. I was a little nervous that
right.
I was going to be talking to a man and he might not be as empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
isn't that wild that you have even have to think that
I know,
way?
Yeah. I was preparing myself.
I mean, I do that at... walking up to like getting on a flight or anyone, I always pick a female.
Right.
Uh-huh. Like, I just can't.
I
know.
Right, because it's just, I don't want to deal with it.
I don't want
to deal with it.
Yep.
So, on the phone, and I recorded the whole call just to make sure. And it was, it gave me hope that first call. She was like, yeah, first of all, what was very interesting to me, never posted a name or the photo of the bouncer, but I got probably 100 DMs of people specifically naming this man.
They've had problems with him
mm-hmm. at okay. multiple different clubs in Los Angeles. And so I was given the information of who this guy was. And then I had a guy friend of mine reach out to me and he was like, luckily my roommate took a photo of him. So I sent it to my guy friend. He was like, I can confirm this is who it is. And he does this to everybody. He's horrible. I'm so sorry. And apparently he's been bounced around to clubs because every club has the same problem with him. And so I get
on. How is he still getting hired?
I know.
So then that was the real tea was that she.
Because that's the face of your business.
Exactly.
No matter who you are way back here, even before you get to me, they're representing
absolutely
who we are. Right. You know what I mean?
So before I say anything, she's like, I just want to confirm it was so-and-so that did this to you. And I was like, it was. How did you know that? Because I never said anything.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it was obvious because she had had many problems with him before and complaints. And then so she was like, just wanted to let you know he's been removed from Highlight Room property. And so I was like, that's amazing, but that's not really what I want to talk about because yes, he was the vessel for that, but where did he get that confidence to be able to do that to people?
Right. Who's telling him to do that?
I want to speak to you guys. I want to sit down and have a conversation with you so we can make actual change and figure something out.
Right.
And how about a mission statement to the whole company?
Right. Absolutely. That
public statement.
That was the minimum.
This is how we need to treat people.
Was the minimum. Exactly. Right. And I feel like they would have set such a precedent if they would have said, us, Highlight Room, a prominent club in LA, we do not stand with this. We say that all are welcome. We are inclusive.
Right.
That is what I wanted. And so, at the end of that call, you know, I got some weird energy just from, I could tell that if we didn't have the platforms we wanted, this man would never have lost his job. He never would have lost that situation.
Because they kept bringing him back no matter how many times they got.
And do we know, like, if he really got removed?
I know that he was at Bootsy at one point and had to leave.
Because so he's just getting bounced around.
Bounced around. So I guess it's all under this. What Highlight Room was trying to deflect is saying they hire a security company or a promotional company.
Like a third party.
So they were saying, it's not us. It's not us. It's the promotional company. And I'm like, well.
Well, there's conversations that need to happen within your own business.
If my dog bites someone, I'm not going to say, I didn't bite you. I'm not going to apologize.
Right.
That's my dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if your company wrongs a customer, it doesn't matter that do you pay their bills? Do you write that check to him? You do. So that's your responsibility.
Right.
So I spoke with Ella because before we had a meeting with them, I wanted to make sure we were on the same page. And her publicist advised us just to give it the weekend and to just sit on it so we could collect our thoughts because they were like, you know, they're going to bring you in. They're going to smooth you.
They're
like,
just going to.
We want real change. We want to make a plan.
Because I didn't feel honestly ready to just go sit and talk about it and squash it because they were seeing it take off and they wanted to shut it down, which I would understand as a business. You want to shut that down.
Sure.
But for us,
but
we
didn't
were
make
like
the right appropriate steps before that.
No, not at all. And it was so in the moment. It was like we didn't even have a second to think about it. It was like the next day. Yes, that was nice. They tried to meet. But in the grand scheme of things, they wanted to shut it down.
Right.
And I wasn't ready. And I don't think Alexa was either. But I wasn't ready personally to give them that yet because I was like, then we'd be doing a disservice. If I went to your club, you sat me down, you offered me free drinks, free tables for this, and kind of like shush money in a way.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not going to fly because what a disservice it would do to so many other people that could listen to this story. So I wasn't ready to meet. And then I don't think Alexa was either. And then later on, we tried talking to them.
It's just a little too late.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And by then we, you know, after the story picked up, they were getting really frustrated. I think that's when she called and said, this is outrageous.
Yeah. So
after like the CNN article came out.
I had sent a text saying, you know, let's say I contacted them on Friday. She was like, let's meet on Saturday. And I said to her, you know, let's wait until let's reconnect Monday
and
plan something for the week. And so I didn't hear anything from them Monday. Tuesday.
I'm not wasting another day, another hangout day with you.
Right, exactly.
Monday's
I'm not wasting
day.
My weekend here again. Right. So Tuesday, I sent a text or I called her or something, or she called me and I was like, you know, I was hoping that you would reach out so we could redo this, but because the ball's in your court, you know, you wronged us,
you should be
initiating
this.
And so we're on the phone and she's like, girls are scared they're going to lose their jobs and they don't feel safe at night because of what you guys are doing.
Wait,
and you guys are ruining lives and
That's not
and it was just a total switch up. And I'm like, that is so funny because I've had probably 7 of your employees reach out to me and say how disgusted they are. Your bottle service girls, which I've recently found out, those bottle service girls have to do weigh-ins. They have to be a certain weight and have to keep and maintain that weight. It's in their contract. I don't know if they've stopped it recently, but I know that that was something going on there. And they were saying, like, we do not stand with how they treated you and we're so sorry. Like, so I know that she's just saying bullshit to me at this point, just trying to make me feel small and
cover it up.
It did affect my anxiety. I was so anxious. I was like, are we affecting people's lives? Like, what are we doing? And then speaking to Ella again, she was like,
no. As outrageous as it is, you've kind of backtracking, probably think, well,
I know, I
don't
was like, that's
hurt.
The last
right.
thing I want.
Right, but you know,
like,
that's not the case.
Right, but no one's after the bottle service girls. Right. Like, yeah. It's the guy at the door. Like, yeah. The girls are not feeling unsafe.
Nothing is what's going on. And I'm like, I'm literally speaking to your employees. Like, I'm like, that's not true. I know that's not true.
Right.
So that was like the next conversation we had. And so I was like, you know, again, like, I think social media is so powerful and it's proven how powerful it is, but I want real change. So I would love to sit down if you guys could get, you know, your vice, she mentioned the vice president being there previously and all these things. I was like, I would love if you could get those people together. I'm giving you step-by-step all of our information. Here is me and Ella's emails, our phone numbers, everything. If you could get a plan and get it to us by tomorrow, I would so appreciate that. Since then, I have not heard anything from them. I've texted and reached out to her twice, doesn't respond to me anymore, has no interest, I'm guessing, in meeting with us.
Turn off their comments. They've been crickets. Nothing.
Yeah. All Instagram comments are off. You can't use Yelp reviews, Google reviews. Wow. They deleted everything. It's crazy.
Absolutely silence. Nothing from them.
Wow. I think it's, well, one, I just want to commend you on doing this because, like, after hearing all of this, the phone calls, even the attention of it is like a little draining, you know, it's like for yourself. And I say, like, it's not easy to come forward, like, in any respect. I mean, I remember in a different aspect that I was getting sexually harassed at work and doing all of that, making complaints, and then having to like retell the story again and relive this moment is not easy, you know? And then to like get a response like that and like, you're doing this and you're gaslighting you.
Right.
Into like, I don't know what else they could have expected. Like, oh, okay, well then I'll say it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know? And so I think it's very important to have these conversations now. And because, you know, with the power of social media, people need to realize they can't get away with things.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that in the day and age of like, the Harvey Weinstein things happening where women didn't feel empowered to speak up about what's happened because, you know, for them, again, this conversation was, well, it just happens, you know, and the time for me when I said, you know, at the time when I made my complaint, it was with a gay man and that was myself as well in that moment. And I said, I think that if I was a woman, they'd take this more seriously.
Absolutely.
And she looked at me and she goes, honey, no. Like, because, meaning like, even women here
women
that had been,
okay.
Oh, right,
like,
right,
you
right.
know, and, yeah. and, but that had, situation had been put on so many times that this was just the reaction. This is the way it goes.
That's
like,
how it
you
is.
Need to let it go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have you heard any stories of like more people coming through, like besides like that have reached out to you and like, thank you
all
so much
time.
For
hundreds.
Like, I will take the hate comments every day over because of how much good it's done.
Yeah.
I'm saying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DMs
messages
from girls saying, thank you so much. Or this happened to me, or this happened to my friend and da, 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 da. So
even the video, like on the comments, if you look through all the comments on the original TikTok and Instagram, I mean, it's crazy. Like I'm 27 now for my 21st birthday, went to Vegas. I'll never go to a club again. Because this happened to me.
Never go to a club again. That's just awful.
Literally. People like in their 30s, I had moms stop me mid interview with Fox and moms came up and cried to me. And they're like, this happened to me when I was younger. And I wish I had someone like you when I was younger talking about this. Like moms like crying to me and I was like, wow, like this is crazy, like this has happened so many times and you'll always remember that, like you'll always remember that story, you'll always remember that feeling of feeling so low, almost laughed at and belittled where no one stood up for you. You'll always remember that. So it's like there's so much power in that and I don't know why we give so much of that power to a bouncer and like I don't know where they think this ego is, like this big power trip's coming from. But yeah, hundreds and thousands of people came forward.
Yeah, because
so
it didn't need even go that far.
No.
With the explanation, with you having had dinner
close
by, with you having friends, like it didn't need to go that far and you're right.
Right.
That power, it's like a
power trip.
Yeah.
It's insane. So we started the hashtag not tonight, you know, movement. Which has been so amazing. So I want people to come forward and hashtag not tonight. But it's really crazy that I've seen a lot more stories come forward recently. Totally. And like flip it on them. Like you used it against me and I'm going to use it against you. Like kind of thing. A lot of people came forward recently this week. I was just telling Alex on the way over here. I've gotten like three TikToks sent to me of this happening to gay guys at clubs all across the country. And they're like, you know, one of them was a bigger creator as well. And the video went viral. And I'm like, good job for speaking out. Like, let's keep the conversation going. I still need to like stitch it. And I want to like bring that to surface as well, because I mean, these clubs get away with almost anything and everything. And it's like this power. Yeah. It's just so absurd.
I remember when I first moved here. I mean, I've had so many experiences of getting denied from clubs that I, you know, years now being in the business for so long, I'll run into people that I don't specifically remember because I meet so many people at night mm-hmm. on different venues, different events. And they were like, you're not going to remember this, but we were standing in line and it was a bachelorette and you saw us and you grabbed us and you brought us to your table and we had champagne and we had the best Aww. Night of our lives. When someone tells me they have the best night of their lives, mm. when this is something I do regularly yeah. because this is my business, but not, they don't do it every day.
Right.
You know, it's not right. like a thing. But like to give someone that like yeah. meant, even though if I don't specifically remember that moment,
right?
But for them was like, we still talk about it with all of mm-hmm. our friends. Wow. That's the kind of ripple effect you want to have right. as a customer service company.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what do you think businesses can do more? I think it starts within, I'm going to answer my own question. I think it starts with the conversation mm-hmm. with your staff, mm-hmm. you know, where everyone's talking about it. So like, even if you happen to miss one person that didn't have that conversation, mm-hmm. there should have been someone else there, like you said.
Right.
Are you going to do
speak
something?
Up. Right. Yeah. Four bystanders that were yeah. a part of the company said never said anything. I was actually going to ask you that question, you know, being in the space and being a part of that business as an owner. What was your take when you saw that? What is something that you could do on your guys' end or something that maybe you have done internally to make sure and that, you know, refrain from this to happen?
Well, you know, at first I was really upset when I saw that mm. and that made me just want to like grab you guys and like bring you over. And yeah. like, I was like, honey, come out with me anytime. We're going to have the best night of our lives.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it made me think again, I've had conversations within my company. Mm-hmm. I've hosted nights where we've hired certain door people. I've happened to come upon them without them knowing I was standing behind them and hearing a conversation of like ripping people apart, like in the worst way.
Oh my goodness.
And I said, actually, those are my friends. And they were like, oh, you know, wow. and I would be like, no, you're going to let them in now. And they're like, oh, well, actually, we can't. And I was all, no, you can. And this is the end of the conversation.
I love that.
And then later on, they were fired and removed or, you know, whatever the situation was. But if I catch it and I see it, I do something about it.
Right.
You know?
That's
and then,
so important.
That is.
But then the conversation starts with managers and, you know, like, this is how we have to treat people.
United front
yeah.
with it.
Yeah. And so that the conversation has to be continuous, too. If there's right. then new people coming in.
That needs to be almost like a training right. that they go through.
1,000%.
That's what we were thinking of. It's like a sensitivity training or some type of course or some type of like, you know, when they get hired, there's knowledge behind the way to treat people decently. Like, and I think there needs to be a united kind of, you know, rule, policy, training, something in place for nightclubs.
I think it'd be actually kind of great if there was a company started, maybe you guys can implement that of a not tonight company we bring in and, you know, they do just a small training of, you know, whoever the staff
right.
is before a
That'd
night
really
starts.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be every night. It could be once a month or something. Let's mm-hmm. remember that, you know, we're all in this together. We went through this tragic time of a pandemic. But remember when none of us could go out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's all be compassionate, you know,
right.
because we still don't actually know the effects and, you know, the what that does to someone, what we went through. That was
right.
pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
So already, like, going out is a lot. Like, I feel it even still.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I'm going to be welcomed into place. Not all the time. Like I said, even my own parties, I've had, like, door people not let me in.
Right.
Which gives me, even to this day, you know, being who I am and having been in this business for so long, I get nervous at doors. If it's not my club
yeah,
or
right.
my place,
of course.
Which is why I rarely go anywhere else. But my friend is like, go up. Like, they'll know who you are. And I'm like, will you go up for me?
Wow.
Like, will you go up for me? Because I still have anxiety about it. Even though I'll probably be like, no, actually, you're going to have to let me in. But you know, who wants to do that?
I relate to so much saying that. My friends are, I'm always the one that's like, you go. Like, let me send my skinny white friend first.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're the model and the influencer. You go.
Right.
Get the door. I'm like, I don't want to be.
It's your name on the list. You're like, no, but you tell them.
I'm like, please, because it's going to come across. And what we were saying earlier about the girls that this happened to and they don't go to the club for the rest of their life. I'm like, these people don't know that you're like robbing people of their 20s. Like, why? Just because someone is bigger, are they not allowed to literally go dance with their friends and have a drink and spend money at these establishments and give you business? It's so crazy.
Rather than going home, and I hate that story of being like, I never wanted to go out to another club again. You know, like, why leave people with that?
Yeah. And I think an interesting takeaway that I had, and Alexa too, that we talked about was, we're both so confident. We speak on it. I call myself the CEO of confidence. Yeah. It's like my brand. I live for it. I love my body and I'm so confident with who I am as a woman. In that exact moment though, it literally took one guy I've never met before, who I don't even know who he is, took 10 seconds for him to scan me up and down and say, you cannot enter and you are not worthy enough, for me to question everything and for me to question 6 years of working on my confidence.
Yeah. Like, and it's a daily practice, by the way.
Right.
Daily.
And it just shatters in that moment. And I left and we both kind of talked about it. And I was like, do I need to lose? Like, I've never thought this recently. I was like, do I need to change how I look? Like, in that moment, like, you really shook who I think I'm so, so confident. You really shook me. Like, and that is crazy that these people have that power over you and your confidence.
Like, you're giving me the chills because speaking on that, and I've spoken on this podcast about this particular night in my own venue, by the way, I was talking to a friend who was just commending me on being so brave and like your confidence. And I wish I could be like you, and you show up and you dress just the way you want. And I was like, yeah, you can't care about what people think. Like, you've got to be yourself. Like, you want to wear a skirt? Girl, wear a skirt. Like, come over to my place. We'll get dressed together. And I remember, because he was just like, yeah, like, I'm like, love being around you. And I remember specifically looking in the mirror, and I don't use the men's restroom anymore because of this night, but I was using the men's restroom because it's my venue.
Yeah.
And I still wasn't used to going back and forth between bathrooms. But I later got advice from another trans girl that was like, honey, always use the women's bathroom. It's safer. Like, don't mess with it. But this night, I remember smiling in the mirror, being like, wow, like, this confidence exchange is so great.
Yeah.
This is what a great night. And this guy whispered in my ear. It came out of, like, you entered my bubble. You entered my world. You shat on my world. You, like, shattered everything. Like, all the confidence, everything that was there built up, all came down. And my hearing went out. Like, my body had a physical reaction. And I was like, what did you just say? Like, that couldn't have happened. Not after this conversation. Yeah. Not after this beautiful night.
In my establishment.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, that just really goes to show, like, it really has to start from the beginning, because like you said, you were having such a gorge night.
Right.
Ready to go. And you just let this person like
destroy it all.
Destroy it all. Mm-hmm. You know, because in a sense, he had this weird power trip. And then he wasn't going to let go of it. You know,
it's when
it's
crazy.
Not even about your job's not that important. And that's not even what your job is.
Right.
You know, it's you to not let dangerous people in.
Right. You know? And facilitate a line. And like, yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. Absolutely. But disgusting. Also, the same, what happened to you guys is disgusting, and it's along the same lines. And as much as I think this conversation will help people so that this doesn't happen anymore, and and hopefully the right people listen to it and it's shared amongst, you know, the nightlife industry,
totally,
that it's not going to be tolerated anymore.
Right.
You know, and when you work in hospitality, I think the message is you have to tell your team it starts from the door. Starts from the very beginning. Because even had you guys been let in, say after all of that, you're going to feel a type of way in the club. And why bring that energy into a space where everyone just wants to... Dancing and drinking and all that thing is just about being happy and having good and confident fun night for yourself.
Right.
You know, if you are rude to someone in the beginning, trust me, that comes to the table. You're going to have a conversation about it at the table. Then that's what
energy.
The whole night... that's the energy of the night, rather than... It could have just been celebrating your friend's birthday.
Absolutely.
You know, and your friend was crying.
It ruined her night. I felt horrible about that. And
you shouldn't have. That person should feel horrible.
Absolutely. And he didn't even care. Like, he's seen girls cry. It's like he had seen a million girls cry and he had made a million girls cry. Like, he did not care.
That was
emotionless.
His...
Yeah. Completely.
Evil superpower for whatever reason, which, you know, we need to combat
Well, I just have to thank you again because you're giving us everything that I thought and hoped Highlight Room would give us. Right. And it's just an open conversation about it.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted. Let's talk about how other people feel in your establishment.
Right.
And let's figure out how to give people the best experience.
That's what it's about.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's just so sad to see that they're not interested in change or in something like that. And I think that it's going to show through the people that are going. Like, people aren't going to want to go there. They're going to want to go to other places because they know that that's a safe space for their friends and the people that they love or themselves.
Yeah. I mean, that is important. I think we like to pride ourselves in welcoming all types of people. And I've had different types of queer people come up to me that are in the community being like, I first walked into this club and I wasn't sure because I've never been here before, but then I saw your table and it was so colorful and I saw people like me and I just wanted to say, a few people walk up to me, straight out, like walking in and they're like, hi, I just feel like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but like, I feel like, I don't know, I need to talk to you
safe
or something.
Space.
And I'm like, uh-uh, you get right over here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I really just think like, that's what this is all about,
Right.
There's no need for being negative. And
I always thought the club was a place for us to all exist together and listen to music and dance and let loose and have fun.
Right.
And like, I think maybe, I don't know if it's the LA effect or what, where it became so sceney. Like, I do know, like, the rappers and the athletes and all these people like to go, but why does that change the experience you should have there? I just don't get that. So I feel like when I came to Bootsy, I just had a blast and I felt like I was around every different type of person and drumming on the drums and screaming and running around. Like, it's so fun. And that's what you want. You want a wild night out where you feel safe.
Not
like, that's
an issue or thinking about other things, not judged.
Yeah.
You know, I always wanted to start an app and I probably should. I'm going to patent it here.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start an app called You Can Sit With Us. You Can Sit With Us.
I love that.
I've thought about it for years because there's people that come here all the time that, you know, it's hard to get to know people.
That's a great idea.
If you move here alone, you just moved to LA or something like that, and you can look on, You Can Sit With Us, and there's three spaces available, say, at the table. You see like-minded people. You ask if you can join. Yes, you can join.
This is genius.
Yeah,
wait,
let's get you
genius.
In. Right? I think about it all the time because then, yes, you're welcome. You have a profile set up. We do a verification that you're not an insane person. And
I would give anything for clubs to have reservations.
Right?
Like, just have, I want to put my name on the list.
Right. I want it set and done.
Yes, that's it. I don't want anybody to question anything.
You
look at this
and we're good. If you need help to start
this,
I'm there.
We'll be the girls in the app.
Let's do it.
Really?
I mean,
that's genius.
This is why I think we're here today. Yeah. I mean, with you guys having turnaround not tonight. That's what made me pop in my head, like, you can sit with us.
Yeah, I
because
love
I
that.
Think
that's
it's
so powerful.
And I've been kind of telling people for years about it. And some people are like, that's really great. It's cool. I'm like, no, it's kind of really great.
No, it's genius.
It's
genius.
Oh, I'm like excited.
Because it's like a full, you can see people and like, oh, I actually know this person.
Yeah.
And they have a table. Oh, I actually know three people at that table.
Right. Yeah.
Because all the time, there's not a huge communication. Like, I have some friends who are like, you never invite me out. I go, girl, I'm out every night.
Right.
Yeah. So pick a night.
Right.
But if you see that I'm out and you see that I'm at a table, you can pick.
And you can go to like Marsha's table
yeah.
or something. Cause like, then I could see like where you're going to be and like hit you up. And then, cause it's like, it's 2022, almost 2023. Why is there no software or technology around the nightlife?
Right.
You know, like we have to text someone or call a promoter. Like, why don't we take out the middleman, have the app where you can choose where you want to go, find your people and not have any issues.
Not have any
That's
issues.
Genius.
Or like there's a tipping situation where like you guys can all leave tips for like, say it's a promoted bottle.
Yeah.
And you can be like, oh, I'm going to leave a tip for that waitress. That was really nice. And it's just already there.
I love that.
And there's
I
no
love
extra
that.
Like any kind of like weirdness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the check comes or something like that.
I hate relying on a man.
Right.
I hate it. Like
right.
I don't want a guy to text me and say, come to my table anymore. Like I hate that so much.
Well, there's also like you feel a little imprisoned.
Yes.
Like now I don't really want to. I always felt bad for those types of tables and I never understood it, which is why I always thought of like, You Can Sit With Us kind of would fly. And so maybe we just need to get it started.
I think we need to get it started.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm passionate about that.
I'm going to look up the copyright.
Yeah.
Like, you can sit with us.
Yeah. You can sit with us.
I love it. I love that you guys love it so much. I want to thank you again for coming to have this conversation, which is a real conversation that we all need to have. And I'm glad you guys started it and had the confidence to come through with your story. It really is important, and I'm so grateful for you both.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah. My heart, grateful. Seriously, you were so awesome.
And you were doing something so powerful. Like, I admire and look up to you so much, and just seeing powerful women in business making a change and doing all these things. I just am so excited to follow your journey, and I'm glad we're friends now.
Yeah.
Now we have to go out together and get a drink or something.
That's the first thing.
Now we have to. That's got to be gone. Yeah. This is plan number two.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening, and remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Vocal Podcast Network. Executive producers are Michaela Simon and Marcia Molinari. Produced by Yonta Tywert, Morgan McDonald, and Ariana Giles. Shooting and editing by Morgan McDonald. Music by Aaron Rees. Artwork by Dominic Demetz, and hosted by Marcia Molinari. Remember to follow at Marcia Molinari and at Vocal Podcasts everywhere. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.